I'd like to invite you this morning over to the Gospel of Luke chapter 5, verse 4. The Gospel of Luke chapter 5, verse 4.
Gospel of Luke chapter 5, verse 4 reads this way. It says, "Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught or draft. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne this morning, once again thanking you for the privilege of assembling together, Lord, in your house as your body of believers. And then, Lord, knowing where two or three are gathered together in your name, there are you in the midst. And so, Lord, we do pray for the blessing and the filling of your Holy Spirit to guide our hearts and minds, that we might truly worship you, Lord, through your Spirit and in truth. Lord, as we open up your word, guide us to hear from you. And Lord, that you might move in our hearts and minds to direct us into your paths. And I pray that you would meet each need, Lord, that's gathered here in this building today, whatever it might be. Lord, closer walk with you, more understanding, or more light, Lord, to understand you in a better way, or salvation. Whatever the need might be, may you bless and open up hearts and minds, Lord, that we might be able to say it's been good to be in your house. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this morning is Nevertheless, at Thy Word. Nevertheless, at Thy Word. So there were some things we're going to take a look at here in just a moment. This is a familiar portion of Scripture, but this word is eternal. Do you believe that? Are you sure? That means we can learn from it, can't we? That means we'll never get to the end of understanding the light that God has for us in and through His Word. So as we do that, I do want you to think about this. Hold your place right here, and you don't have to turn over there, but we're right there in the Gospel of Luke. The next Gospel is John chapter 1, and I just want to remind you of who the Lord is when we consider, nevertheless at thy word, who Jesus is. When Peter said to the Lord, nevertheless at thy word we toiled, and by the way, there was a hesitancy there. He was honoring the Lord, but I don't think he was expecting the results that the Lord performed for him that evening. But notice what it says here in the Gospel of John chapter 1. Look at verse 1. It says, "In the beginning was the Word." Remember what Peter said, "Nevertheless, at thy word," right? "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God." Then drop down with me, if you would, to verse 14, and notice what it says here. "And the Word was made what? Flesh." That's the Lord Jesus Christ. "The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." This is the Lord Jesus Christ. And you don't have to turn over there. We're going to go back over to the Gospel of Luke chapter 5. That's where we're going to be for the remainder of the morning here. But I do want to share something with you from Colossians chapter 1, what it says about the Lord. Verse 15, notice it says, "Who is the image of the invisible God." That's speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, "the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, or principalities, or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him." That's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? So it's important when we consider what Peter's saying, at thy word, that we remember and realize that Jesus Christ is the living Word. He is the creator of all things. He is the one who made things happen, and when He spoke, and things were created. And of course, we do have a triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They're all one. They're all working together. Verse 17 says, "And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist," right? All things consist. "And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell." When we talk about the Word of God, when we talk about the Son of God, who is the Word, listen, when God says something, can He do it? Can we have confidence in that? And by the way, that is something that is learned. That's not something that comes automatically. That's not something that we should just know. That is something that God teaches us. Listen, does God love the whole world? Listen, he loves those who are righteous in him, but he also loves the lost that don't know him. Because the Bible tells us in Romans 5:8, but God commendeth, or he showed his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus Christ died for us over 2,000 years ago, just a little over 2,000 years, and we weren't even born yet. And so he died, and he had us, I don't understand it, but he had everybody on his heart and mind, and especially those that would receive him as their personal Savior, and they would be adopted or born again into his family. What a privilege God has given to us. And as we consider our text this morning, we have the living word right there with Peter. And let's just look at three thoughts this morning. Here's what we're going to consider: the Lord's invitation, the Lord's results, and then Peter's repentance. Do you see how that works? Listen, the Lord's invitation, if the Lord does not open up our hearts and minds, if the Lord does not move on us, we have no understanding. There's nothing we can do. God is the one that initiates salvation. Amen?
Amen?
In eternity past, it was in the heart and mind of the Lord. Then the Lord brings results. Amen? When God says something, when he promises something, he fulfills it. And listen, God, you can always count on God to never go back on his word. That's important. And then we find Peter's response, which was repentance. And God, listen, God loves that because that requires humility. That requires us to understand our deficiency and where God is working in our lives and wanting to guide us. So here, back in the Gospel of Luke chapter 5, let's look at the Lord's invitation. And let's look at verse 1 right here. And we find the importance of hearing the word of God. Look at verse 1. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen, so that means there's more than one fisherman, right? But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. The fishermen were doing this. Now, we're going to zero in on Peter, but there was more than just Peter that was there. So a lot of times people think Peter's just all by himself, lonesome. No, his other partners were there as well as those that were gathered together to hear the preaching of the Word of God. Every time, listen, the preaching of the Word of God is there, be it known, the Spirit of God is working. That's faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the what? By the word of God. So where the word of God is being preached, the Lord is working there. And so we find here this situation where he was wanting to preach to these people. And notice what the Lord does here concerning the opportunities when we obey the word of God. So notice what the Lord says to Peter. Verse 3. And he entered into one of the ships. Now that's kind of an interesting invitation, isn't it? The Lord got into the ship. He didn't just stand out. He got in. That's a little bit kind of, how would you say, with purpose. Amen? And so he's kind of putting Peter on the spot because he's wanting. So Peter is going to have to tell him no, and then he's also going to have to tell him, will you please get out of my boat? All right? So this is kind of a situation here that God has created. God has a way of getting into our lives. Amen? And by the way, praise the Lord, because if he didn't, we would be in darkness. We think we know what life... Listen, life, this is just for you and I that are here on planet Earth, this is just the beginning. Eternity is in the balance, amen? And by the way, listen, there are people out there that don't know the Lord. Guess what? Just like we didn't know the Lord. I didn't know the Lord. Listen, I didn't get saved till I was 24 years old. I believed there was a God. Don't ask me why. I was even taught evolution and still believed there was a God. Isn't that crazy? And so maybe that didn't sink in deep enough, or maybe in the back of my mind, it didn't make sense. I don't know. But here's the whole thing. Had I died before I got saved, even though I believed there was a God, I would have died and gone to hell. Because I did not understand that I needed to have forgiveness for my sins, and I couldn't be good enough, but Jesus, knowing I couldn't be good enough, died in my place, took my place, and took our place, right? And gave us his righteousness. He who had no sin became sin for all of us. And God the Father placed the sin of all of humanity on him. Listen, the death of the cross was a cruel thing. But the greatest part of that whole situation with the Lord Jesus Christ was when the sin of all of humanity was placed upon the Lord Jesus Christ and the Father could not look upon him. And he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? For us. He did it for us. He was willing to go through that separation that you and I will never understand that he took for us. Praise the Lord. We don't ever have to experience being separated from God. And so that is the grace of the Lord. But listen, God has to give us that aha moment that, oh, it's me. I understand that now, Lord. And by the way, God loved us so much that he paid that price. Listen, the Bible says, you know, maybe somebody would do that, lay their lives down for a friend. But how about for an enemy? Only God. See, the Bible says sin separates us and causes us to be at enmity or an enemy of the Lord. But even in that situation, God says, I love you so much, I've paid the price. Isn't that great? So as we consider that, he's already saved. He has a testimony of being a disciple of John the Baptist, as all the apostles did. But notice what he does here in verse 3. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him. That means he's asking him. And prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. So that means he did it, doesn't it? That means he did it. He said, listen, just thrust out a little from the land. Now, I just want to, I've covered this before, but I do want to remind us, this is how the Lord progresses in our lives. He doesn't dump a whole load on us. He just, listen, if he would have said, Peter, let's go out fishing first. That was not the order of things. He needed to preach to these people the word of God. But if he would have told them right then, Peter may have been completely overwhelmed and would have said, there's no way, there's no fish out there tonight. Now, is that really true that there was no fish out there? There were fish out there, but they just weren't catching the fish. Does the Lord know where the fish are at? Can the Lord make things happen even when we can't? Absolutely. Now, what do you think would have happened if the Lord would have pulled up there, if he would have drove up in a motorboat? And that motorboat, yeah, we used to have Lorans. That was made like around the World War II situation where we can find coordinates, right? And that's how ships would travel and know how to get from one place to another place and get where they want to end up at, right? Today we have GPS. And man, I'm telling you, years ago I watched this one guy just farming a field. And he was in his combine. They didn't even drive it. The GPS did all the work. It was communicating, and they just made perfect straight lines, and they did. I was impressed. I thought, wow, they've come a long way. So what if the Lord would have pulled up and said, listen, Peter, not only do I have, this boat's got a GPS to find all the spots where the fish are at, and a fish finder to make sure they're there. Maybe that would have encouraged Peter to say, oh man, this is some new technology. But that's not the way the Lord works. See, that's the arm of the flesh. That God's not glorified unless he does a thing. Amen? See, we're not going to finagle, and we're not going to talk anybody, and we're not going to entertain anybody into eternal life. That's not God's direction. That's just not the way it works. It's through the foolishness of preaching. Has God changed his mind? No, he has not changed its mind. It's through the foolishness of what I'm doing right here, right now. The world says, oh, this is foolishness, don't they? They say, my goodness, why do you go to church on Sunday when you can be out there fishing, skiing, whatever you want to do on Sunday, playing sports? Well, because life is more than just this life, amen? And there is a God who is worthy to worship and wants to speak to us through his word. And so here as we consider this, the Lord comes to Peter, asks him to thrust out a little bit. He begins to teach the people. So here is the opportunity that God gave to Peter as he gives you and I the opportunity to open up the word of God, to come to the house of God and to worship the Lord or to do something else. And so Peter is obeying the Lord and he's following and he's listening what's going on. And so he heard the word of God being preached. And now we find here another opportunity. Notice verse 4. Now when he had left speaking, that's the Lord, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets, plural, for a draught. A big catch is what that means. Now, let me ask you this question. Did the Lord know what Peter would like? Does he know what we like? But listen, how many of you figured this out? The way that the Lord works and the way that the Lord thinks is not the way we think. We have to learn how to follow the Lord. It's not just because we get saved, just because we trust the Lord, doesn't mean we know how to follow the Lord. We might think we do. Peter was saved. Peter had a relationship with the Lord as far as salvation is concerned. But Peter didn't know how to follow the Lord. Is that not true? Isn't that what we're seeing right here? So the Lord is working with Peter to get Peter, a saved man, into a better place, into a better relationship with God himself. Do you know God is working in our lives to get us to a better place? But if we say, oh no, Lord, I'm too busy for that. I don't got time for you. I don't even know if I want to do that. Where are we going? We're not going to grow in the grace of God. We're not going to understand how to follow the Lord, especially if we say, I already know how to do everything, Lord. Though all forsake, Lord, I know where I'm standing. I won't deny you. I think there's a problem, don't you? We can fail greatly. In fact, mark it down. Pride comes before what? If we don't walk humbly with the Lord, we're not walking with him at all. And so we need to walk humbly with the Lord and say, Lord, I need you. I am one step away from walking outside of your will. So, verse 5 here, we find this progression of dealing with human reasoning versus faith alone in God's word. Remember who Jesus is. He's the living word, right? So Jesus says to him, Jesus says, listen, let down your nets for a draught, right? For a big catch of fish, great haul. Notice what Simon says here. And Simon answering, Simon had an answer, didn't he? And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night. Did the Lord know that? He did. He knew that. Did he know that Peter was tired? See, listen, this is how God gets us, listen, to trust and walk with him. Sometimes when we're tired, sometimes when we're exhausted, God gives an opportunity. And listen, that's why we have to be completely yielded to the Lord all the time. All the time. And listen, be on guard to be led by the Holy Spirit, because we're a testimony every time before the Lord. We were talking about Sunday school. How would you like to be remembered? Well, yield it to the Lord or we won't be remembered at all. Amen? Yield it to God that he might perform his will and work in our lives, or we have nothing to give the Lord. We have to present ourselves, that's what the Bible says, a living sacrifice. He didn't say for us to do anything. He said, you just put yourself in the hand of God and say, do with me what you want, God. Well, that's interesting. That's a good commitment, isn't it? God, here I am, whatever you want in my life, whatever you want. Failure, success in the eyes of the world, whatever you want, God, here I am. That's being real with the Lord. That is, listen, I will take what, isn't that what Paul said in prison? Whatever you want, God. How about Joseph? What, your will, Lord. How about Daniel? How about Job? And the list goes on, doesn't it? Completely yielded to the Lord. Not always understanding, but always knowing that God is in control. So, he says, we've taken nothing in verse 5. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Now, he's got some partners there with him, and we won't speculate exactly who they are. We'll see some of the names here in just a moment. But look at the Lord's results here. The work that the Lord performs in the life of a believer is intended to influence the lives of others to the glory of God. Notice what it says here. And when they had done this, wait a minute, I thought it was just Peter. They means more than one, doesn't it? It still does. There's some people confused, but it still means more than one. So here it is. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net break. There's more than one person in that boat, isn't there? The Lord gave the command. The disciples were following that command. Peter was the captain of the boat. Amen? Was the one that the Lord was talking to. And so, God's work is influencing. Listen, what Peter did, the other disciples saw as well. And so they're watching this. And they're seeing. And the Lord is wanting to work in our lives. And notice what happens here. Not only did it affect the other ones that were in the boat. Listen, and they, there it is again. There's more than one person in the boat with Peter and the Lord, isn't there? And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. There's a lot of people there, isn't there? Probably at least 4 to 6 people there. And the Lord. And so, look at this feeble obedience. Peter did obey. Let's give him credit. And by the way, let's look at the mercy of the Lord. God was merciful to Peter's incomplete obedience. He obeyed, but he didn't quite obey completely. He let down a net. And God still blessed. And this always boggles my mind. They couldn't have gotten one more fish on there. They were sinking. Look at the mercy and grace of God. That even when we are incomplete in our obedience, God is merciful. Now, does that mean, well, if that's the way the Lord works, then it doesn't matter what I do? Really? I think there's something wrong with that kind of love. I don't think that's what God wants us to have. So, notice again verse 7, and they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. So God's working in here, isn't he? And there, listen, Peter said, there's no fish out there, Lord. Now, the reason for them not catching fish the first time, was it because they were not industrious? They were lazy? They weren't working? Was it because of a lack of experience? Was it because there was no fish in the sea? No. So God allowed that situation in their life that he might be glorified and might have the opportunity to show them that in spite of what we think, God can make things happen. Amen. Hear that clearly. See, because we get to thinking, well, here's what we need. Really? Is that what God said? Here's what we really need. We just need the Lord. God didn't say, all you need is him. If we abide in him and he abides in us, we have everything we need to faithfully serve the Lord Jesus Christ. But once we get to being wise in our own eyes, we'll come up with all kinds of ideas and reasons why this is never going to happen. And that's what isn't that what Peter said? Without saying it? All right, Lord, I'm just going to show you something. Because I know we're not going to catch anything. So I'm going to show you something. Do you think they expected to catch anything? They certainly did not expect to catch what they caught, to say the least. Maybe, perchance, they thought they'd catch a few fish, but they never thought they would catch what they caught. And so what was the difference? What was the difference that time? The Lord in the boat. What will be the difference in your life and mine? The Lord in our life. See, the greatest pursuit that a believer has is the Lord to be in our life. Because if the Lord is in our life, we will care what he cares about. If the Lord is not in our life, we will care about what we care about. We won't even think to tell anybody about the Lord Jesus Christ. We're too busy for that. We won't even think to take time to prayerfully open up the Word of God and see what God has to speak to me, to say to me personally. We won't even think about setting aside time that we might call upon and talk to and have an appointment to pray to the God who's worthy of some time out of our day to talk with him. We won't even think about doing that without the Lord in our life. So if we're not thinking about those things that he thinks about, mark it down. I didn't say you weren't saved. I'm just saying we're not in the Lord like he wants us to be. And unless we repent of that wickedness, and that is wickedness for a child of God to forget the price that was paid for his eternal life. That is a wicked sin before the Lord to think so little of our God that we would dare to say, I don't have time for you today. I'm too busy. Or I don't care. I don't care to tell others. It makes me feel uncomfortable. It's a little bit awkward. See, listen, that's because we look to ourselves. And here's what we say. I can't do it. And you know what? Listen, I'll agree with you. I can't do it. But when God is in our hearts as a saved child of God and in our minds, we won't be able to not do it. We will have to be the witnesses. The word of God will be a fire burning in our bones to share. We will see that souls are lost and dying and going to spend eternity separated from God unless we speak the word of God by the grace of God. Amen. Unless God is working in our lives. I think that might be what the Lord would say is revival. Amen. That we have the life of Christ burning within our hearts and minds to do his will. And to do his work. And to be the witness. By the way, God, listen, it all begins with this. Lord, here's my life. Here's my life, Lord. I want it to be yours. And here's the truth, Lord. I can't lay it down. Will you lay it down for me? If you ask the Lord to lay down your life for you, he will do that. Because he's not superimposing what your will is. We just realize our frailty and our weakness. We don't have the strength to do it. I don't. Maybe you do. I don't have the strength. Lord, I need you to lay down my life so that you can have my life and so that you can work your will in my life. Did Peter have a little bit of a hard time with that? In fact, all the disciples did. In fact, didn't Abraham, I think, lean to his own understanding a couple of times? Didn't he think, well, maybe you should tell him that I'm your brother? Because they're going to kill me, even though God gave me a promise. I don't know about that promise, but I see these people that might kill me. And so God knows our frailty. And so, Lord, I need you to give me faith in you, to trust you that you will work things out for your glory in my life. And so they catch this great haul of fish. And look at the bottom of verse 6. And their net break. So the net is breaking. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. Remember, the net's breaking. And they came and filled both the ships so that both the ships began to sink. You know, listen. When a boat is full, when we are filled with the Lord, you're going to be riding low. Humble. But when the boat is empty, oh, you'll be riding high. Pride. When God is doing a work in filling us, we will be riding ever so low and slow and careful because we will need the Lord to guide us into his harbor lest we sink without hope. Amen. We need the Lord. But if the boat's empty, oh man, we're riding high. Everything's going our way. Not really, but we'll be missing the Lord. Last thought. Peter's repentance. The importance of humility. When Simon Peter saw it, what did he see? The Lord was right. That's what he saw. That the Lord did something that he thought, no doubt, was never going to happen. It was an impossibility. He obeyed. It was a reluctant submission. When Simon saw it, both ships sinking, what was he convinced about? What he saw when the Lord wasn't in his boat. You know what? You and I can be convinced about a lot of things when the Lord's not really in our life. I didn't say you weren't saved. He was a saved man, was he not? He was saved, wasn't he? Yeah, he was saved. But he had some ideas until the Lord got into his boat. We need the Lord in our lives that we might humbly walk with him and not think so much of our thinking and start looking to and calling upon the Lord to open up his word and direction in our lives. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Would he have seen that before that? Who brought Peter to that place? The Lord did. It's the only one that can bring us there. He's the only one that can bring us there. You can't bring him for me in my life. I can't bring him there for you in your life. We have to be willing to say, "Lord, I want you in my life. And I need your direction. And you are worthy for me to lay down my life, my will, my way for all of yours." Are we really willing to do that? My thinking for yours, Lord. My thinking for yours. Notice we get a little bit of Peter's heart and mind here. So he says to the Lord, when he falls down at the Lord's knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord." Notice what he says. For he was astonished. You know, being astonished is a good thing. And the word astonished there in the Greek means to encompass and to take possession. God got a hold of him, didn't he? For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes which they had taken. None of them expected that. The Lord did something in their minds that would have never happened without the Lord. Did you get that? They were taken by what the Lord did because they knew that was never going to happen. And they knew that God made it happen. Who will build his church? The Lord will. We can't build his church. And what is the instrument that God has called and chosen to build his church? His people. So could it possibly be the problem is not with God's plan, but with his people? Could it possibly be? Look at the mercy and grace of God. Listen. And so was also James and John, verse 10, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, remember he's at his knees, "Depart from me, O Lord, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord." Jesus said unto Simon, verse 10 at the bottom there, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." Wow. But only, listen, he just gave him a good illustration. He's using the fishing term, is he not? Who's got to be in the boat? Who's got to be in our lives if we're going to catch men? The Lord has to be there. We'll spend so much time doing this, that, and the other when we need the Lord in our life. And then he'll do it, won't he? He'll make it happen. And what did they do? What did God, listen, look at what God did in their hearts and minds, because, listen, was Peter surrendered at this moment to the Lord? He was. In fact, he was confessing, wasn't he? "I'm not worthy for you to be here." And so the Lord says, "Fear not." In fact, look at, this is important. Look at verse 9. Jesus said unto who? Simon, that's Peter. Do you see it there at the bottom of verse 9? Peter, listen, the Lord knows what we need. Jesus said unto Simon, "Fear not." Don't you love that? "From henceforth thou shalt catch men." And when they had brought their ships to land, listen, God did this in them. They forsook all and followed him. God will cause us and lead us and guide us to do things for his honor and glory. Listen, that we will never do by ourselves. Did they have that plan that night before the Lord stepped into their boat? Did they have that plan that night to forsake their fishing and follow the Lord? Was that their heart and mind? No, it took who? Jesus in the boat. You and I won't do it either. It takes Jesus in our life. And by the way, he asks. He's already stepped into your life through salvation. And now he says, "Follow me." He asks. And until we say, "Lord, I will forsake my way and follow you completely, and Lord, I need you to do that, we're not going to see a whole lot. But if we're willing and if we're ready to get serious with the Lord, and he knows our hearts, and we call out to him, is he faithful to answer? He is faithful, isn't he? What is it that you want this morning from the Lord? Because he's faithful, is he not? And if we want the Lord, he will gladly come into our lives and empower it that we might abide in him and him in us and do things that will catch men, the souls of men. People will be saved because the Lord will be doing the work in and through us. And does the Lord say, come? Come, come unto me. Come unto me for salvation. Come unto me for the promises that he has given to his people. Come unto him for the work that God wants to do in and through our lives. So the invitation is the Lord's. And once again, the opportunity is ours. Would you stand? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne this morning, thanking you, Lord, and praising you for your mercy and your grace and your goodness and your desire, Lord, to want to use us. I am so glad, Lord, that it is never too late to get serious with you, Lord, and to allow you to guide us into the green pastures and to feed upon the Word of God like never before and to understand you like never before in a life-changing way that will affect ours by your grace and mercy and the lives of others for your honor and glory. Bless the invitation. Speak and work in our hearts, Lord, your people, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.